Philippians chapter 4, we're looking at the Christian life, just thinking about a balanced life. First of all, a balance would include fairness. Just like in your Bible it says a just balance is a delight of the Lord. What's that mean? Fairness. When we're talking about balanced, I'm going to talk to you about in every aspect of our life we need balance. In your Bible, Philippians chapter 4, verse 5, watch this. Verse 4 says, rejoice in the Lord always, and again I say rejoice. Then verse 5, let your moderation be known unto all men, the Lord is at hand. What's your moderation? The moderation in your life is your boundaries. Moderation means I do things in moderation, I don't do anything in excess. That verse there is a beautiful verse for your testimony. As you as a Christian, there should be things that you say, I don't do that. My God, I'm a Christian. I'm not going to dress that way, or I'm not going to talk that way, or I don't do that. Let your moderation or your boundaries be known to all men. Why? Because you're a Christian. Let your moderation be known to all men. Moderation includes things you will do and won't do because you're a Christian, but it also includes anybody who is not balanced is normally what we would call eccentric. Have you ever met eccentric people? They're extreme in one area. And I'm not just talking OCD. I'm talking they have one thing in their life that they stress and everything else goes to pot. That's what we would call an extremist. Sometimes they're hoarders. I've been in a few houses like that where that's filled. There's literally just a pathway to walk, and everything that they've bought is still in the box that they bought it in, and it's unopened, and it's stacked to the ceiling. I've been in two houses like that. I remember a house like that when I was a kid. That's an eccentric person, and they're not all hoarders, but anybody that does one area of their life is unbalanced. Go to Proverbs chapter 30 and look at a prayer for balance. Right in the middle of your Bible, right past Psalms. Psalms, Proverbs chapter 30, verse number 8. This is a prayer for balance. Remove far from me vanity and lies. Give me neither poverty nor riches. Feed me with food convenient for me, lest I be full and deny thee and say, who is the Lord? Or lest I be poor and steal and take the name of my God in vain. Verse 8 and 9 is a wonderful verse. He's saying, God, this is the prayer. I don't want to be a rich person to where I trust my money and I don't feel I need you. And I don't want to be a poor person to where I would be tempted to be angry at you because of what I don't have. He's praying, Lord, I don't want riches or poverty, but Lord, help my needs to be met. I just want to be normal. He's saying, I don't want to be extreme. That's a prayer for balance. A Christian is supposed to be balanced. Go to 1 Corinthians in your New Testament. 1 Corinthians chapter 11. I'd like you to be thinking about, I want to be a balanced person. I want balance in my life. Look at verse number 2. Now I praise you, brethren, that ye remember me in all things and keep the ordinances as I delivered them to you. Paul is saying, remember what I taught you as a Christian. I don't want you to just focus on one thing. Remember me, my example, in all areas of your life. In all areas of your life. The physical aspect of your life, the emotional aspect of your life, and the spirit. All. We're supposed to be balanced. Look at the next verse. Go to 2 Corinthians 7:1. Is God says all. Don't focus on one area of your life. Now, I like this statement when you're talking about balance. If you getting an A in an area of your life means you fail in all the other areas of your life, you would be better off getting B's and C's in all of your areas than focusing and doing one area well and nothing else. A jack of all trades and master of none. Or some say if you master one, then it costs you everything else. That's unbalanced. All of us should want to do better, but you should want a balanced life, not, well, I can do one thing and that's it. Notice 2 Corinthians chapter 7, verse. Having therefore these promises from the Bible, dearly beloved, let us cleanse ourselves from all filthiness of the flesh and spirit, perfecting holiness in the fear of God. You say filthiness, that's immorality, and that's sex outside of marriage. Wait a second. All filthiness, filthiness in talk, filthiness in action, filthiness in entertainment or music. God says, don't just focus on cleaning up one area of your life. Cleanse ourselves from all filthiness. Talking about living a holy life. Talking about living a holy life, all things, not just focusing on one thing. Can you go to 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 15? But as he which hath called you is holy, so be ye holy in, there's that word again, all manner of conversation. We use the word conversation to talk about our language, if we're conversing. In your King James Bible, when it says in all manner of conversation, it's talking about your area of life and what you talk about, because your walk talks and your talk talks, but your walk talks louder than your talk talks. So your how you live sends a message to people on what you believe. So he says, in all manner of conversation, be holy. The next verse is awesome, verse 16. Because it is written, be ye holy, for I am holy. What a verse. That's out of Exodus 15:11. He's quoting that in the New Testament. God tells us, be holy in all manner of conversation. That's our job as a Christian. That's what we're learning. I'm not as holy as I should be, but I'm holier than I used to be. Amen? And I'm not as holy as I could be, but that's part of the Christian life. I'm learning. I'm learning to lean on the Lord. I'm learning to trust Him and love Him more. This morning I'm going to preach a sermon on rooted and grounded. The opposite of balance is a cult. What does a cult do? They always separate the youth from the adults, then they take them into the woods, get them in a new atmosphere, they change their name, sometimes they change the language, and it's a shock environment to focus on. What makes the Jehovah's Witnesses a cult? Yes, they have a weird belief system, but they focus on one area. What makes the Mormons a cult? What defines them as a cult? They have one thing that they focus on. How come Jehovah's Witnesses and Mormons and Christian Science and Baha'i Faith and all that, how come they're labeled as cults and it's not all Christian? It's a cult because it focuses on one area. One. As you read your Bible, God is not cultish. Your Bible is not cultish. We've seen in the Bible, we're supposed to be balanced. We're supposed to work at everything. We're supposed to work at being a good wife, a good husband, a good parent, a good child, a good employee, a good church member. And, you know, we'll show you that. But we're supposed to work at it all. We're not supposed to one thing only. We're not one issue people. God says, I want to help your whole life, not one aspect of it. Yes, when we get saved, we're on our way to heaven. But God says, work at your balance. That's the opposite of a cult. The Pharisees were unbalanced. He says, as a matter of fact, go here to Matthew 23. Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. Look at this verse here. This is one of the things Jesus preached to the Pharisees about. Matthew chapter 23, verse number 24 and 25. Ye blind guides, which strain at a gnat and swallow a camel. Okay, I hate gnats. We've got them in the church, okay? And I hate the fall. little itty-bitty thing. You can almost swallow a gnat and not know it. Okay? Yeah, that is gross, but yeah, it's protein, and it's happened to me. I've inhaled before. Okay. So you can, he says, you Pharisees, you don't strain when you swallow a gnat. He said, but you're so out of balance that the little things over annoy you. And then you swallow a camel. Okay, well, how hard would that be? He said, and the big things he said, you're so out of balance. Then notice verse 25. It says, woe unto you, or cursed are you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites. Watch. For you make clean the outside of the cup of the platter, but within they are full of extortion. And notice that word excess. He said, you're unbalanced. Inside, you are not balanced. You focus, you make the small things too important, and you make the big things underimportant. You're out of whack. And Jesus corrected the Pharisees and said, you're cursed. One of your problems is how you view life. He's telling them that the whole chapter is a rebuke to the Pharisees and the scribes. This is one of the problems that they have. If you know that a cult stresses one area of the life of your life, okay? And people who don't go to church, you know, when you start going to church, they go, oh, that's cultish. They don't know what a cult is. That normally what they mean is, you're doing something I'm not. Okay? But no, our church is not a cult. There are cults by definition. But what makes a cult is, look, what could make our church a cult? Let me take one issue. If all I ever taught on was the King James Bible, that's the only thing I taught on, like every time I got up to preach, and I never preached on how to get saved, eternal security, how to love your wife, how to love your spouse, how to be... You know, I mean, in other words, the whole counsel of God's what's supposed to be preached. Yeah, if all I ever preached was one thing all the time, yeah, that's cultish. It's one issue. That's what we're not supposed to be. Here, God says the Pharisees were unbalanced. What you are supposed to emphasize, if you do emphasize anything in your life, it is supposed to be your gift that God gave you when He saved you. Everybody in here has a gift. So I've told you this before. Some of you have two gifts. Some of you have three. But you can read Romans. We haven't got time to go into this morning, but Romans chapter 12 speaks of what God gave you. And there's things that you're good at that other people aren't good at. Why? For the benefit of the body or the church. So if you do, for instance, one of my gifts is teaching. I know that. I do focus on my teaching. But that doesn't mean because I have the gift of teaching, I'm supposed to negate everything else. It just means normally a teacher is going to put time and prepare into what they do. There are people who have the gift of ruling. What's ruling? That's the ability to organize and break a job down into small pieces so that it can be done as a whole. That's ruling. There's the gift of mercy. There's all types of gifts. All I'm telling you is, if you do end up focusing on an area of your life, I highly suggest you learn what your gift is. Those lessons are on the internet too, but it's learning what God gave you. Learning what God gave you. And if you do focus on something, focus on your gifts. Now, God wants us balanced in all areas. Go to 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 12. For we dare not make ourselves of the number, or compare ourselves with some that commend themselves. But they, measuring themselves by themselves and comparing themselves among themselves, are not wise. One of the wonderful things in the Christian life is you start learning, what did God give me and what does God want me to do? And I learn God through this. I read the Bible, but I'm not supposed to compare myself. Okay, I don't compare my preaching to other pastors in the area. Is that right to say? I could care less? Yeah, I could care less. You say, but so-and-so preaches this way and this pastor preaches this way. I don't listen to their sermons. I'm not trying to preach like them or not preach like them. All I'm trying to do is preach how God told me to preach or helps me preach. And if I start comparing myself with other pastors, God says, that's not wise. You know what hurts you as a Christian? It's when you go, I wish I could be like so-and-so, or I wish I could be like so-and-so, or God says, that's not wise. Don't compare yourselves among yourselves. Who's our example? The Lord is, right? And that's easy preaching and hard living. all right, but the Lord is our example. Your measure for balance is never supposed to be somebody else. First of all, it's supposed to be the Word of God. That'll teach you balance, helps you. God will never lead you to focus on one area of your life. God will always lead you to help benefit. God wants to profit your whole life. You understand? God wants you growing in all areas, not one. Then you've got the will of God. What God specifically wants you to do is different than what God wants others to do. God doesn't want us all doing that. Okay, everybody can't pastor the church. I'm the pastor because I'm supposed to be an example, and I'm supposed to be the one that helps serve the most. There'll be times other men in the church, if I'm sick or if I'm gone, there'll be time other men in the church preach, and they're not going to preach like me. Not because I'm better, because that's God's will for their life and how God's worked in their life. So you've got the Word of God. Your measure for balance is the Word of God, the will of God, and then you've also got the guidance of the Holy Spirit. Be not drunk with wine, but be filled with the Holy Spirit. Be not drunk with wine, wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit. So there's things God wants you to do that He doesn't want others to do, but it is directed in the Bible, right? So don't compare yourselves among yourselves, and every once in a while, everybody needs to hear that. We're to be an example towards each other. We're to help each other. We're to be influenced by each other for the Lord. But I don't look at somebody. It was a great day in my life when I woke up and I figured out I am not a Jack Hiles. And I am not a Jeff Owens. And I am not, you can name any famous preacher in history, I'm Greg Nash. And I'm supposed to be the best Greg Nash that Jesus wants me to be. And I can only be Greg Nash. I can't be somebody else. You understand? And watch this. I think every one of you is supposed to think that way. It's wonderful when we meet a Christian that's stronger than us and we go, wow, I like their Christianity. I like their... I want to be like them, but I don't want to be them. I want them to influence. That's healthy Christianity, I think. I think that's purpose of fellowship. So, that's your measure for balance. Let's talk about balance in just for a second here, because I got just a few minutes left. We should work, first of all, let's take our physical life. We should work at balance between work and sleep. You say, everybody does that. No, they don't. If you don't balance work and sleep, you will destroy your health. Everybody's supposed to get everybody needs between 5 and 8 hours of sleep, depending upon your metabolism, and you're supposed to figure out what do you need and get that amount of sleep. You need 10, hon. You need 10. Okay, yeah. But if you know how much sleep you need, let's say you need 8 hours, then figure out what time you need to get up and then go to bed 8 hours before then. You say, well, it takes me a long time to fall asleep. Then quit looking at the computer and your phone before you go to bed. They've already discovered that blue light that emits from the phone, tablet, computer screen, it does cut down on melatonin. If you're having a hard time sleeping, then you should know what's causing you to have a hard time sleeping. The old rule goes like this. 10 hours before sleep, you should have no caffeine. Count down whenever you go to bed, back up the clock 10 hours and don't drink it. You can drink stuff, water. Yeah, well, they're learning. These energy drinks is killing our society. The Red Bull stuff, they have no idea yet what caffeine is doing to the youth. But man, they're chugging them and living on the red. They still don't know the side effects of that yet. They'll find out soon, and I have news. It cannot be good. But the old rule goes like this, 10-4-2. 10 hours before bed, drop the caffeine. 4 hours before bed, don't eat. If you're going to eat, it should be a minimum of 4 hours before you go to bed. Most people go to bed at 10, so that's why supper is between 5 and 6. Okay? And that's been a standard. You can ask any physician this. And the last rule, two hours before bed, don't do any work before you go to bed so your mind can slow down. The old rule goes like this, and it still holds. I've been looking at it. They're saying insomnia and stuff like this. People are looking at their phones and stuff like this to, like, right before they shut their eyes, your mind has to wind down from that. And then they're like, I just can't get to sleep. There's a reason. You're not the only one that's like that. Everybody's like that. So a good rule is 10, 4, and 2. No caffeine. Watch the food that you eat before you go to bed. If you eat before, like 3 hours before you go to bed, then your stomach digests food through the night and you wake up tired. They say digestion is one of the hardest activities your body does. To digest the food and to pull nutrients from it takes an amazing amount of energy. So don't let your body do that when you sleep. Okay? Definitely drink fluids. 10, 4, and 2, I hope you take that with you. You got to balance work and sleep. You need to balance food and exercise. If I'm not exerting a lot of energy, I like to cut wood, I like to use my chainsaw and cut things down and destroy things. but if I'm not exerting a lot of physical energy, I normally get by. I don't normally need to eat more than 2 times a day. Okay? But if I'm, man, if we're, you know, loading it up, sure, I'm burning calories and I need the, you need the balance there. Your private and your public life, they shouldn't be miles apart, right? In other words, you can't live a double lifestyle. You can't be this in private and this in public, because a double-minded man is unstable in all his ways. That'll hurt you. Now let's look at emotionally. God wants us balanced physically. God wants us balanced emotionally. Jesus said, I'm come that you might have life and that you might have it more abundantly. John 10:10. Your marriage. Marriage is important. Your children are important. Your family is important. This is everybody but your kids. You know, this cousins and aunts and uncles. Yeah, your family is important. You need to work a good relationship with them. Your friends. There's good and bad friends. That's a Bible study in itself. But a companion of fools shall be destroyed. Period. You better pick your friend. You better be careful who you let influence you. And that doesn't mean I'm rude to anybody. It just means who I spend time with. You understand? God says be careful. Spiritually, we're supposed to have balance. We're supposed to be a good church member. That's Bible. We're supposed to, a Christian is supposed to read their Bible. Bible reading is supposed to be something that you do every day. Heaven forbid, not Sunday and Wednesdays. You mean the only time you read your Bible is when you come to church? That makes for a very weak Christian. You can't, this I'm talking about, this is spiritually, your life is supposed to include Bible reading, prayer time. Nobody would argue with that. God saved you to spend time with you. God loves to hear you talk. I think you'll hear me say in the sermon this morning, when was the last time you were talking with the Lord and you said, just you talk to the Lord, God, I love you? Well, nobody could hear you. When was the last time you told God, I love you? You know God loves you, but you tell God you love Him. Your prayer time. Soul winning. We're supposed to tell others about the Lord. We're supposed to tell others about the Lord. Our thought life. We're supposed to. All this is spiritual. Okay? This is things people can't see. Okay? All of these people can see. If I was to take the idea of balance, there's faith and there's works. This is what you believe and trust in, but it's supposed to lead you to do good works. Because the Bible says, faith without works is dead, non-fruitful. Unfruitful. There's hearing the Word of God and there's doing the Word of God. James 1:22 and 23. We're not supposed to be hearers only. Yeah, I know the Bible. Well, you learn the Bible so you can live the Bible. So you can put it in your life. There's getting and giving. Blessed are ye when men shall give into your bosom. Okay? Well, somebody, for you to get, somebody's got to be doing the giving. So learning to properly get, receive, and learning to properly give. That's balance. That's balance. God is love. But God is also a consuming fire. Don't leave the one out. You ever hear people say, oh, Christianity is all love. Love is part of it, but love isn't all of it. And love is wonderful, but God's both. You understand? Heaven is in the Bible, but so is hell. Okay? People, oh, I don't talk about hell. You're unbalanced. The Bible talks more about hell than it does heaven, but it does teach about heaven, praise God. Okay? It's a real place. All sowing and no reaping, or all reaping and no sowing means failure. We're supposed to be sowing and reaping all the time. You sow, you plant, and then you reap from what you sow, because all of us reap what we sow. Okay? How about this statement? Just all work and no play makes Jack dull. But all play and no work makes Jack hungry. Okay? There has to be a balance. There has to be a balance. Lord, help me to be conscientious, but not a perfectionist. Lord, help me to be discerning, but not critical. I'm not supposed to be in oblivion. I'm supposed to be paying attention to things. Lord, help me to be friendly, but not familiar. There's people that take that too far. Lord, help me be generous, but not gullible. Lord, help me be meek, but not weak. Lord, help me be self-reliant and do it myself, but not self-sufficient. Self-sufficient means I don't need God. I have everything I need to make it. No, Lord, help me to do it on my own, but Lord, realizing I need you. Okay? Lord, help me to be steadfast, but not stubborn. There's a difference. There's a difference. Lord, help me to be unmovable, but not stationary. Unmovable means I'm not changing what I believe. Stationary means I'm not growing in the Christian life. Lord, I want to always be growing closer to the Lord. Lord, help me to be bold, but not cocky. But not cocky. Never, balance in the Christian life is never in excess or too much of a good thing. Yes, we believe in baptism. Baptism is in the Bible. Once you get saved, you're supposed to get baptized. But if you take that one baptism too far, there are churches that teach baptismal regeneration that you got to get baptized to get saved. No, we do not believe that. You understand? That's too much of a good thing. They overemphasized it. The Catholic Church and a lot of Protestant churches, they took it one step further. Well, this was the thinking. Well, baptism is a lot in the Bible. So it must have something to do with salvation. And if it has something to do with salvation, then the sooner the better, and that's why we baptize babies. Woo! Okay, there's not one baby baptized in the Bible, not one. Yes, we take the Lord's Supper. We'll take it tonight. Okay, we'll take it tonight at the start of the service. But I'm going to use some big words here. But we don't believe in transubstantiation, or we don't believe that the bread and the juice is actually the flesh and the blood of Christ. That's what Catholics believe. They believe they're eating Jesus. No, we're not eating Jesus tonight. Yeah, cannibalism, if that's a yeah. But that the priest holds up the cup and he says hocus pocus from the words hocus pocus. He does. It's Latin. And they believe that it's actually changed into the blood of Christ. We don't believe that. No, it's a picture of Jesus. Consubstantiation is where Martin Luther said, well, when you take the Lord's Supper, God's presence is there more than in a normal church. No. No, that is nowhere in the Bible. Yes, we do take the Lord's Supper. And we remember what Jesus did for us. But we don't believe in transubstantiation or consubstantiation. That's taking too much of a... That's out of balance to me. It's out of balance. One more. We do believe you should be spirit-filled, but we don't speak in tongues, and we're never out of control. All this stuff they see on the internet, spirit-filled services and people barking like dogs and writhing on the ground like snakes, it creeps me out. Well, if you're filled with the Spirit, you'll do that. No, if you're filled with the Spirit, you'll love the Lord and you'll tell others about the Lord. But speaking in tongues, no, we don't. So never in excess or too much. Balance in the Christian life. God wants us balanced. And it's something that we're supposed to focus on. We're supposed to work at because we're not a cult. Amen.